Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. It's starting to get to the point where I don't know that you can take Luis Garcia out of this rotation. I don't know what you do. Maybe it's Odorizzi. I don't know.
It might have
but
to
Luis
be Luis
Garcia did not have a major league win. He has won his last four starts. He has looked unbelievable. He has gone 7-6-5-5, given up 1-2, no, and one earned run in those last four starts.
I've got 1-1-2-1.
No, his last
start. Oh, those are runs. Those aren't earned runs. I got you, Regardless, it's still impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it is. This guy
And his strikeout total is impressive. And, you know, his ability.
6-1, 7-1, 7-2, 5-2, 7-2, 8-2, 6-0. His motion is weird. I think that helps a little bit.
Well, wind up.
Yeah.
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 The wind up. And, you know, his pitches are just, he kind of stays on the same plane. There's not a lot of, like, it's not a lot of crazy movement. It's not like he throws a ton of pitches. He locates fastball. He throws strikes. And people just have a hard time, I don't know, they seem to have a hard time seeing his fastballs. Because he can sit there and chomp on the lower portion and get a lot of called fastballs, and then he can also go, you know, kind of up and in. And he moves, I mean, he will work up and down in the zone, and that's got to be Strom. I mean, that's got to be Strom. Strom, he's done a great job with another one.
Dell this morning is making a big push for Stromy in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm with Dell.
Now, this is kind of LeBron-ish to me. I mean, he is the greatest of all time. But he also he's lost the final six times. He's got this bullpen, too. This bullpen is under his charge, too. Yeah, I don't know if you know.
It is a thing that crossed my mind as I was developing my push, because I'm going to get on the table and stump for Strom. I'm going to have to fight off the people go, but what about the bullpen? I was like, look, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken bleep.
I think one-inning guys also, a lot of that's mental, too. Like, A, they're in the bullpen because they're not as good. That's just which one of these guys is the big prospect? None of them. I mean, Anoli's got a big arm, but and then you look at, I think when you're talking about one inning,
well, Javier
a lot of that
could be a starter everywhere, but
a real bullpen guy. He's a starter.
Right, but there's no room.
Yeah. That's the only reason they have somebody good in a bullpen right now. Although it was good outing yesterday.
Yeah.
So I want to give them their props. Rayleigh and Stanek came in. They had good, solid
thank
innings.
Thank you for getting three outs.
I know. It's your job.
Everybody.
I don't want to throw a...
Stand on the chair.
It's true. I don't want to have
We're standing on a lot of chairs
bang
today.
Pots and pans for...
We're standing on a table or a chair for him?
Well, the bullpen... I'm not the bullpen, but the Hall of Fame stumping will be on a table.
On a table.
Yes, that's what we stand
on a table. John McClain's going to get on the table?
I don't think he does baseball, does he?
Well, he's the Hall of Fame... I mean, he's the Hall of Fame guy.
Did he tweet it?
I don't know. He should have. Luis Garcia's got
it. I'd ask why you didn't tweet it.
I should. Stromy.
But, I mean, I think the bullpen stuff is really just a matter of...
I don't have a vote, though.
Bullpen, no, you don't. Bullpen stuff is just a matter of... I think there's a bunch of guys who, A, aren't as talented, and B, they just mentally, they just get... Their nerves get the best of them. When you see starters, you see guys who are operating like, all right, how am I going to approach this inning? How am I going to approach this hitter? And that's got Strom's... You know, fingerprints written, you know, fingerprints all over it. And when you see Garcia, that dude is pitching with great confidence. He throws strikes, he works quickly, and he doesn't try to do too much.
Well,
you know, he just doesn't try to do, he doesn't get cute all the time. I mean, he doesn't just give in and throw hitters' pitches, but he doesn't get cute. You know, he's a Latin pitcher. Latin pitchers don't typically nibble and get cute. Mm. He just sits in. I mean, it's true. Luis Garcia has a lot of swagger. I was thinking about this the other day.
He's
about
got some nice hair.
He just goes in there and he's going to challenge you is what I mean. Urquidy's the same way.
Yeah.
They just are going to go there. And Javier's a guy who will, you know, he likes to be clever and he ends up getting some walks out of it. Urquidy, he's throwing strikes. Garcia,
Javier, isn't he a Latin pitcher too?
Yeah, he is. That's why I'm
so
saying.
So why are you generalizing?
I'm saying that's a little different.
I mean, but you're getting dangerously close to that. Yeah. That soccer announcer.
Yeah, I know.
Di Maria. What do you say about that guy? He let his Latin fire get the best of him.
But Urquidy and Garcia.
What do you say?
But Urquidy and Garcia really do. I think they really do a nice job of just. If you nibble around and put guys on, you're going to get in trouble. Urquidy came out the other day, and he's throwing strikes. Yep. He's like, I'm going to work fast, throw strikes. You do you.
By the way, did you see the Yasiel Puig video? He's at the plate, and the guy and the pitcher, he's playing down in Latin, somewhere in Latin America right now.
I was wondering. I was like,
no, he's not in the bigs. He's playing in the Latin America.
He's already out of the bigs?
Yeah. He's playing for – well, he's such a pain in the ass. The guy throws a ball outside about, I don't know, a foot outside the plate, and Puig is so pissed at him. He's telling him, you know, come into me. You're at my – and the bench is cleared. They had to clear the benches because the guy threw a ball to Yasiel Puig. That's what a pain in the ass that dude is. That's how bad he is. And you speaking of
Do you remember
Latin
how many
American,
fights he was in?
He was – every game he started a fight. Every game he started a fight. But, man, I'll tell you what, this team man, you don't lose that game. You don't lose that game to San Diego, game two. And this homestand is this was the scariest homestand of the year. You can't get a scarier homestand. Maybe playing Tampa because they're so good. I guess it could be a little bit worse, have to play Tampa. But otherwise, you had the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Red Sox here. And I just think we've got a little bit of fatigue. I saw the crowd there last night wasn't great. I just feel like, you know, you're putting all of these teams back to back to back. And people are like, oh, I'm just spent. I can't keep going out to the ballpark every night. But if, you know, if the Red Sox came in next week or 2 weeks or whatever, you'd be excited again. This stretch of having these great teams in here is really difficult on a fan base. I'm not making excuses.
Really?
It is the middle of the week.
Why do you think that? Just because
I was there. I was and with school and you know, we still got, you know, there's still it's still Houston before the summer.
Well, you think it's also expensive.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, at the
and
end of the day.
People are there to probably, I don't know what percentage are still scared to go anywhere. You know, only 40% of America has been vaccinated.
I was surprised that the number is just.
It's really low.
It's staggering how many, because I mean, you know, if you give me a choice and they say, if you want to not wear masks, I'm not wearing them anymore.
No, I'm not wearing them anyway.
I did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
The whole time I've done what I was supposed to do.
You guys pick it up.
Y'all got to figure things out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny that when you look at the fan base, I was shocked at the number of people I saw in the background of the game yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought it seemed a little light.
Yeah, For the Red Sox. For
Red Sox, you know. I figured there'd be more Red Sox fans in.
It's not enough.
No.
I mean, I really do think it's too many big games in a row.
Well, you got school, and school's going to be out here. HISD is going to be out in 2 weeks. So that's going to pick up. But and one of my sons, Alec, is already out of his school, but the other two, Snacks and Mason, they're still just chilling, just still going to school. So once that lets up, I think you'll see some more people go in. But, yeah, it's not a cheap – I mean, it's not cheap.
No,
I know
there's nothing cheap about
it. Of the tickets, it's the cheapest. But when you add everything up, nah, it's expensive if you try to bring a family.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But they're playing good baseball now. I mean, Altuve leading off with a homer.
Man, Kyle Tucker, it has to be said. His April was terrible.
Yeah.
His May has been terrific.
He's
and
up
now,
to 250.
You may just, I mean, where? What are you going to do with, you just leave Kyle Tucker in the middle of that lineup and you don't mess with it. He's seeing it great. He's swinging a good bat. He's putting good wood on the ball on a consistent basis. He had another three-hit game yesterday.
His
back-to-back three-hit games. And, you know, I think the story is Luis Garcia going back-to-back 100-pitch games. He went 100 the other day and 106 yesterday. And he was at a pitch count total. Before the seventh inning, after six innings, where you thought, okay, he's out. It's already in the, 92 in that neighborhood. They'll pull him out here. Dusty, and it was 2-1. And Dusty's like, nah.
No.
I need to squeeze one more out of him because, hey, you know, Dusty's doing that because he doesn't trust his bullpen.
No.
Yeah. It's got to be a huge part of it. Dusty, if he's saying...
Well, and now he's starting to trust Luis Garcia a little bit. He threw 100 last time out. He threw 106 this time out. He gave you 6 last time. He's giving you 7 this time. You know, he's building up the arm strength, and he's building up Dusty's trust right now. Yeah, I mean, what's a better option than throwing him out there for 14 more pitches? What's a better option? Rayleigh? Stanek? Stop me when somebody is better than Luis Garcia.
That's just common sense.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll take a guy with maybe a slightly fatigued arm like Garcia over anybody in that pen. And you know what? He squeezed out another inning because he did a nice job. He did get in trouble. No. That was the inning before, right? That was the inning before. That was the 5th where he gave up his run. And Dusty still – no, the 6th where he gave up the run.
No, you gave
up Dusty 5th. Still brought him out there,
he got him
right?
in the 5th.
Oh, it was the 5th.
Gave it up in the 5th. And he gave you a scoreless 6th and a scoreless 7th, and he gets out of there. And then you put 3 up in the 7th, and holy crap, it's over.
And that was huge. And that's something that they've done last few games is scoring some runs late to give your bullpen a little bit of a cushion.
Yep. Look at this. Yordan back. Gurriel back. How about that's a story?
Out of nowhere, you've got
– Where's Uncle Mike?
You got almost everybody back. You need Uncle Mike back, and you need Lance McCullers back, but you almost got a full slate.
Yep.
My neighbor Rob, buddy of mine in the neighborhood, says $300 for the 5 of us to go to the Angels a few Saturdays ago. $40 a ticket and a $20 service charge per ticket. Upper deck. Ooh. $300 upper deck and you get a $20 service charge per ticket? That's $100 in service charges.
So it's $300 just for the tickets. Well, that doesn't even count the parking. That doesn't count the food. That doesn't count... Or was that?
No, I think that was the total. The total is a $300 night for 5 of them to go to a game. Oh,
$300
in the upper deck.
That's what it costs.
I know.
In the upper deck. That's.
The $20 service charge is what's got me. How is that possible?
I don't know. Is that the team or is that a secondary?
It's an online thing,
second market.
Right? It has. Well, I don't know how the Astros do it, but
bro,
you know,
can't be a. $20
you get a service charge if you go through Ticketmaster to buy concert tickets online.
They give you
stuff.
Service charges. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, so, no. Any secondary market, you're paying them.
So if you go through Astros.com and get tickets, they're going to hit you for $20.
I can't see that.
I don't know that.
And
you can
get
all
right
your tickets because it depends on where you want to sit, but. They're not selling out, so
yeah.
There's tickets available at Astros.com. I don't know. Maybe it was a $20 service.
Well, no, I mean, I don't think he's lying to me.
No.
I'm just wondering who's hitting him with those service charges. Like, that's that high.
Awfully nice to see Gurriel and Alvarez back. And look at Tucker. His OPS is up at 800. Look at McCormick. He's hitting 197, his OPS is over 700.
Yeah, I got another sack fly yesterday when he banged one to the wall.
But he is, I mean, when you're hitting 197, your OPS shouldn't. He's got a 426 slugging percentage. And listen, Siri is still hitting well. He was the player of the month in AAA this month. He is still raking. You gotta. I don't know that you can. I mean, Straw is not. We got to get off his back. He's not that bad. He's hitting 237 now. His OPS is close to 600. He's still not a great center fielder, but it might be getting close to time to call Siri up or just put McCormick out there every night. Because when your OPS is over 700, when you're hitting .197, you're doing something right,
right.
Dude. I mean, his RBIs, it's ridiculous. His average with runners in scoring position is ridiculous how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Straw is up every single time it's a game situation.
Yep.
Every time. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. I'm talking about my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Absolute Marble and Granite is here. And this is... You know, you still got a little bit of time before the kids are going to get out of school, or you're thinking about, hey, what are we going to do with this backyard? What are we going to do? I mean, do we have to redo this kitchen? Maybe summer is the best time for you. Maybe you go away and Jeff can work on your kitchen for you. Do you need new cabinets, new countertops? Do you need the entire kitchen to be redone? This is what Jeff does every day, the entire bathroom to be redone. put in that entire kitchen outside. I'm telling you, it looks so nice right now with the marble and the granite and the brick and the, it's just, the options are so nice. And you are going to get a great deal from Jeff. He gives 20% off to our listeners because he loves the 97.5 listeners. If you're looking for a great way to remodel, to redo, to do as opposed to redo, if you've got a big job, Jeff Aronoff is here for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, you know, he's proven he belongs in the big leagues. You know what I mean? And yeah, that's number one. And the guys, you know, have faith in him. I know the infielders, you know, I mean, told me a month ago that, you know, he had outstanding stuff. And so, you know, like I said, we just got to enjoy this and hope he has some more, you know, to give us and some more improvement. And, you know, he'll pitch in the big leagues a long time if he doesn't, you know, barring injury. So, you know, number one, you know, he's not trying to prove it to me. You know, number one, you have to prove it to yourself. And I tell guys that, you don't have anybody to satisfy with God, family, and yourself, because those are the three entities that you can't fool. I mean, you know if you're playing well, and you know if you're not playing.
That was Dusty.
That's pawpaw knowledge right there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's something that a sage grandfather would tell you.
Yeah, it's you prove it to yourself first.
You can't fool God, family, and self.
No. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's start with the NBA last night. And LeBron on the brink of elimination in the first round for the first time in his career. Can we stop all the LeBron versus Mike talk now?
Well, Mike never was on the brink of elimination.
Oh, no, he was eliminated in the first round before.
Yeah, so what do you
want? Early in his career.
Why would this
not
stop?
Not later in his career.
Celtics, yeah.
Not later in his career. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to the Suns, ever, in the first round.
Well, he would never play the Suns in
well,
the first round.
Well, thank you. But did he ever lose to the Suns in the first
you're
round?
Correct.
No.
He never played in the Western Conference. He never played in the Western Conference, so that would have been impossible. Yes.
So there you have it. So he never lost. He never lost, period, to the Suns. Beat him in the finals. That thank you.
Well, LeBron hasn't yet either.
He hasn't
lost to the Suns yet.
Well, he's about to.
Hopefully.
So Charles Barkley last night.
This is so good.
When talking about, he was talking about the game.
We got the sound here.
Yeah.
Okay. They're talking about, so it's Draymond Green who is in his Calvin Murphy jacket. It's Draymond Green is on the set with those guys, with Ernie and with Shaq and with Charles. You know,
And Charles and Draymond have history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have history. Yeah, that's right. You know, Charles, a lot of times those guys have little inside jokes that will leak out on the show, and that's what happened here. As they're talking about Anthony Davis, just listen, sit tight. And Anthony Davis, of course, did not play yesterday. He's had a history of injuries over the last 3 years, and here's Charles talking about it.
Anthony Davis, I told you the Lakers can't win this series. Forget about the championship; they can't win this series without street clothes.
I'm not even. You want to explain that?
I call him Anthony Street Clothes Davis because he's always in street clothes.
You ain't got to explain it, Chuck.
He just calls him Street Clothes.
It's Street Clothes.
That's a nickname that could stick.
Oh, Anthony Davis ain't going to be happy with Charles. That's for sure. Well, now, Charles was always out there. That's one thing. Now, Charles.
Well, until he got out of shape and wasn't out there.
Right. At the end of his career. He was.
And that was from not working in the offseason.
Now, Anthony Davis can go, can't hear you, Charles, because I got this ring in my ear. But that's pretty funny. Without Anthony Davis, the Lakers are That team is just, it was a 30-point game at the half.
Dude, it was an ass-kicking in the first quarter. Devin Booker started draining some tough shots, and then everybody got in on the act. But I want to tell you, that stadium was on fire. That was a loud. Dell, did you watch that game at all? Any of that game?
I didn't have the sound on.
That was the loudest game that I've heard of any. This is the loudest game I've heard in a year. I mean, it's since the pandemic started, obviously.
Really?
I haven't heard anything in any sport that loud. It was right up there. It sounded louder than Astros and Dodgers.
No.
I swear on everything. It was, maybe the mics are different or whatever, but the fans, that place is packed. And at one point in the broadcast, they said that the Lakers have been privately complaining that it's not fair that, I mean, the NBA can't do anything about it. That it's not fair that they don't have the same amount of
fans.
There's the imbalance. Like, well, you got to
move out of that. Move out of California.
Yeah, talk to your governor. Talk to Gavin. Don't be bringing it to Adam Silver. Adam Silver.
Who do you guys think you are, the Rockets?
Yeah.
I know. With all this fussing. I mean, the Rockets always ended up becoming more public than that. But, you know, here's an article. Opinion. LeBron James supporting cast let down Lakers in LeBron James, supporting cast let down Lakers in Anthony Davis's absence and now season's on the brink. He spent his entire NBA season embracing big expectations and intense scrutiny. LeBron James maintained he could carry an extra burden without Anthony Davis. But in the Lakers blowout, and that was a blowout from start to finish, loss to the Phoenix Suns. Well, not start to finish, but soon after the start. James discovered he could not completely offset Davis's absence. We got our ass kicked. LeBron left the court 5 minutes and 34, 5:43 left in the game. He just left.
He hadn't played
at
all.
He caught it for it, too.
I wonder, I don't know what that was. Did he go get something with his ankle? Who knows? But, he was done.
He said he went and called Damian Lillard.
Well,
he was calling Dame to come on over to L.A.
Yeah,
hey, Dame, what you doing?
Dame was going for 55 and a double OT loss.
12-3.
I said before.
Third most ever.
But that
ever.
Was a classic Blazer game.
Well,
Dame does something incredible and they lose.
He did it incredible twice, and they usually win, but late in the game, he stopped shooting. He gave it up a couple times and didn't work out.
Yeah, but Covington misses a dunk, and then CJ steps out of bounds.
At that, look, I said Dame's my favorite non-Heat player, probably of all time. I just love watching him. He's the only guy currently in the league who gets me to go, oh, every time he does something crazy, the guy who makes me audibly say something out loud watching him. And he made multiple incredible shots. And at some point, like in that second overtime, I said, stop passing the ball. There is not a better option than you finding a way to get a shot up at that point. And he did the team thing and passed the ball and gave it up a couple times because of the Nuggets defense. And like you said, Covington flailed on a dunk and McCollum stepped out of bounds. And now he's got to go home down 3-2. But he's a special dude. But back to the Lakers.
Special's not even 12 threes. I mean, he only missed how many shots? Seven yesterday?
He missed 12. He was 12 out of 17 from three, I think. Something like that. He
but
tied the record.
McCollum was equally bad on the
Yeah,
outside.
It was just it was yeah, he didn't get much help late in that game. And back to the Lakers and Suns. Everyone was talking about how, well, if the Lakers get healthy, then expect them to go on to the finals. And I kept saying, why should we expect this Laker team to be healthy this year? Anthony Davis had to rush back to try to keep them out of the play-in, and it didn't work. LeBron, in his last regular season game before the play-in, turned an ankle. They're going to be, even if they get through the series somewhere, they're going to be dealing with this stuff the entire run. Those guys aren't healthy.
John, how many years do you think Anthony Davis has played in the league? You're going to be wrong.
12.
You think he's been in the league 12 years?
Was it? No.
Okay, you're wrong. It's 9.
Oh.
I thought you would say like 7.
No.
He's played
like
the
he's
equivalent of
to
7.
To me, it seems like he's been around a long time.
So he's played 9. When's the out of these 9 years, when is the last time that he played 80 games?
Who? Ever?
Never.
Never.
When's the last time he played 76 games?
Never?
Never. He's played 70 games twice in his entire career. Uh-huh. 75 in 16-17 and 75 in 17-18, which is like 82 for him. And then, of course, he played 62 last year. I don't know how many games he missed last year. because of the pandemic. Because they got most of the season, and so he missed games.
They got most of the season, but they didn't get it all. How many did he play?
62. The Lakers played a total 71 regular season games.
Yeah.
Okay, so he missed nine, which is good for him. This year, how many games do you think he's played? Was it 72 games scheduled?
How many do you think he played? He played 55.
36.
What?
Street clothes. I know. I didn't realize he played that few either. That street clothes Davis thing is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing. I mean, he misses so much time. If you miss that much time, and you know who else missed a lot of time? Shaq. If you go look at Shaq's numbers, I always found that to be very... once you start missing games, you keep missing games, typically. If you're an NBA veteran, it doesn't usually change. Charles was the same way in his career. Once he started, he kept missing games. When you look at Shaq, he had so many lower body... because he was too heavy.
Yeah.
So many lower body injuries that he had a hard time staying on the court long term. It's always bothered me about Shaq when people talk about him being, you know, one of the greatest. It's unnerving to me that's one of James's biggest advantages is James is just always he's a horse.
Yeah.
He just always plays. Steph Curry, man, Steph just always plays.
Well, after early on, he had all that ankle problems.
Yeah, he had the ankle stuff early on. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And it's rare that you come back from that, but he did.
But he's light. You know, that's not, not going to wear on him.
Yeah.
All right, it's
and James had his first, a lot of time
this year. That's what I think is worth keeping an eye on, by the way. Yep. James has put a lot of minutes on that body.
Remember how fat he was, too.
No, that was just for a couple games.
No, but that'll
hurt. He was fat for
two games. Your lower.
He was fat for about a week.
Yeah.
And
look what it did to his hamstring.
Does a silicone bodysuit weigh that? Is it weigh really that much?
He needs some insurance of how fat he
is. TGS Insurance doesn't do health insurance, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure he's got it through the league. But what I can tell you is that TGS Insurance does an amazing job of creating a competition for your home. And homeowners insurance is something that so many people skip out on. Well, you don't skip out on a homeowners insurance. You have to have it. But you don't really think about that as a mechanism of savings, of something that can make you money. And that's really what's happening. If you've been paying X amount of dollars year after year, year after year, and they come at you with a company or a group of insurance agencies that are looking to be competitive, and what you're going to find is that they come with lower rates than what you've been paying. And we're talking about A-rated insurance companies. You text the word money to 232323, and my friends over at TGS Insurance are going to find a quote that in many cases will be $900 or more less than what you're paying. Hey, that's your money back in your pocket. That's a big deal. And even if you're currently with a homeowner's insurance company, they can still hook you up. TGSinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
I'm in love with the go-go. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the coco.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:31 here on The Bench. That's what it's called. It's not called The John and Lance Show with Dell. It's called The Bench. It means all three of us are on this show. And we welcome you into the show, 713-780-3776. I was flipping. Well, I was watching primarily. I taped the Astros. When I say taped it, I like to get a drag on it to where I can tape it and let an inning go ahead. I know I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people. You guys are just like me where you'll pause it because you want it to get about 15 minutes ahead so that between innings you zip by or maybe even sometime between pitches or whatever the case may be. And so I had that on record so I wouldn't lose it in case a dog stepped on a controller and turned the TV. Is there anything worse? Is there any worse feeling? You don't do DVRs anymore, Dell. I don't know if you ever did. The worst feeling in the world is when you have something paused and you've got it paused for about 40 minutes, especially if it's a game, and a dog or a kid or yourself hits the control, hits the remote, and you see it say 7, like you accidentally hit a 7, and you know it's going to change the channel. It's that inevitable wait for the channel to change, and you've lost that 40-minute. You've lost all that, everything that you've been pausing and holding. But anyway, I was watching some of the – a little bit of Celtics. That didn't hold anything for me, Celtics-Nets. Nets finished them off. But I did want to see the Suns versus Lakers, and it was electric in the Suns. In the Suns' home court, but obviously watching a ton of the Astros, watching all the Astros, and
wait, you didn't hold on to the end of the game in Nets Celtics when Kyrie was interviewed and talked about what a title run would mean for the Nets and
no,
as far
can
as the
I,
world
can
is
I
concerned.
Hear, can sure. I hear it?
Let's listen to Kyrie talk about a lot of things, but I think what's special is what he said at the very end of this.
Okay.
Watching this franchise win a number of playoff series, how does it feel to be a part of a team that's won for the first time since 2014, winning the first round?
Sure, nothing but grateful. You know, I started off with a childhood dream and now evolving as a man here in front of this hometown crowd. It's nothing short of amazing. All glory to God, man. And it's just blessing to have incredible teammates, selfless. We do all the right things. We pay attention to detail. And we just want to stay locked in for everybody that's supporting us.
After game 3, a number of you guys talked about how that loss, you guys can use that as a positive. How are you guys able to do that with back-to-back wins going away?
Just maturity, doing the right things, and make sure we bring that energy. You know, being up in Boston, hostile crowd, you know, we understand what that takes. In order to be a special team in this league, we got one on the road. So we went up there, handled business, and wanted to do it in front of our hometown crowd. Grateful that we got the win.
Looking forward to that second round. What's it going to take moving forward? You know you have a tough challenge at hand.
Just staying resilient, persevering. Same thing we've been doing all season. And make sure that we got everybody with us.
Last thing for you, again, in front of your family, in front of this crowd, what does this mean? Again, the Brooklyn Faithful showing out.
Oh, man, come on now. We uniting the whole world with this championship run. So I hope everybody with us. We uniting the whole world with this run. Stick with us, baby.
Oh, I got news for you.
Yes, I agree.
Three of the least likable players in the league from a general fan standpoint over the last 3 years.
I think you're wrong.
We're uniting the world?
Yes. I could see where in Pakistan and Afghanistan,
how about
and
just,
all the stands?
How about
all
the city of New
how
York?
How about just are, any place?
They're like, hey.
How about Houston?
Now I feel good about life.
How about Houston?
You know, what with the Nets winning that series.
How about Houston?
He's not even uniting the city of New York.
No. He's not uniting any city.
Everybody's on board for
Kevin
this championship
Durant,
run so you in got Japan. Oh, now all of a sudden Naomi Osaka says, oh, I want to watch basketball again.
She's American. But let's
no, she's
go.
Not.
Well, she's Japanese.
She's Japanese.
Well, she's Japanese. Wait, she not? She's an American citizen now, right?
Why would she
well,
be?
No.
I don't know
she's
that.
She's Japanese.
I thought she was an American citizen.
I mean, she
citizen.
Lives here, but she's a Japanese. No. She, when you see her, if you watch tennis, it'll have a Japanese flag next to her name.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden she's better, thanks to Kyrie Irving.
Well, let me ask you this. So you got
and
the
And this Nets run.
You got the burner champ. You've got the guy that every NBA fan has hated for years, and James, and yet Kyrie, who's evolving into a man before our very
eyes.
He's
maturing.
As he said, he's evolving into manhood.
Right before your eyes.
Which is amazing. I'm blessed to be on this ride with him. But
till somebody's birthday
comes
up. Yeah,
those three guys.
I hope not in the finals.
Hopefully there's nobody has a birthday in his family during the finals.
Birthday, or he'll be gone for the finals. But can you imagine having three guys who general NBA fans like less on one team who intentionally just super fanned it? One guy, James, fatted his way out of Houston, and you know, Kyrie is just so self important. And then you have Durant, the most sensitive superstar maybe that we've ever seen in league history. And who would you rather see win, LeBron or the Nets?
LeBron. And I can't stand him. I can't stand him. No.
I mean, I don't know. I might rather see James win.
No.
There's no chance.
Really. No.
That probably won't feel
good.
The
thing with the Nets, if they won, it would be so they would be so self-important.
Oh my God.
And
they
pretentious,
are exactly.
And they wouldn't understand that, you know, what you guys winning doesn't mean that much to anyone. I mean,
great
you
for you guys.
All-star
that
you
no, even forget about that. Like Kyrie's message, like Kyrie's on a different level. He's on a level that's beyond even James and KD. But the lack of self-awareness after winning this title would be unimaginable.
Yeah.
How they would talk about the win. It would be, everyone be like, "What
and
are you
how
guys,
important it was?
What are you guys talking about?"
No, Kyrie might think this brings everybody together.
It's uniting together. The world.
He actually might, but you know, there's
uniting
a chance he believes that.
Uniting the world.
Now, that's really should be it's a classic troll thing to say. Like if you're aware, and if you're self-aware, and you know how many people don't like the Knicks players.
The last thing Kyrie is self-aware.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He actually probably believes
he does,
this.
Probably.
The best way I can explain it is like. Like teenagers, they always feel like they're smarter than you and they know more than you and you're just a dumb older person. I feel like the Nets whole vibe is that. Like if they win, it's like they would do it with a laugh in their voice and talk about how, hey, we just knew we were better than you guys. Like not just the players, just everyone watching. They've got a very I'm the smart teenager, you're the dumb old person vibe to them.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, all in their 30s pretty much. I don't care one way. I won't cry if they win. I'm not gonna celebrate the win. They're certainly not uniting me with others and saying, "Man, that Nets title was really inspirational." You mean the one where they played 9 games together? That one? Man, Kyrie, get out of here.
It's Kyrie. He's gonna say
stop, please.
He's just gonna say stuff.
You are an awesome basketball player, and I'll leave it at that. That's all I got for him.
Yeah, I do feel like the world is now united. We're all on the same page.
So
Nets basketball.
You and LeBron are united. If they
how about united me and LeBron? Yeah. Of all of the uniting you
could
possibly
do. Well, you got to find
him.
He left the bench. I don't know if you'll be able to find him once
he was calm. I'm telling
got
you.
His ass
I bet you
a,
he was calling Dame. What you doing? What
honestly,
you doing, bro?
The
after,
Lakers,
after you guys lose this one.
The Lakers really can't win. It'd be great for Chris Paul to get this win, but Lakers really can't win without street clothes. It's just true. They can't.
It's amazing. That team, you remember before this season started, when they added...
I mean, they were deep enough that they could fade a loss of Anthony Davis. Oh, my God, Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
You got Kyle Kuzma. You got now the Morris brother. Well, Morris was there last year, but you look at all these...
Schroeder and...
Yeah.
I mean... It was unbelievable. You were like, what
Schroeder,
the hell?
Like, this is a team full of all-stars.
You can't do this, Lakers. This is unfair. This
it's
season's not. Oh, they finished seventh
LeBron
seed.
LeBron needs more help.
Seventh seed and then out in the first round. That's how unbelievably awesome they
this
were.
This really is not. I mean, LeBron needs more help.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. When we come back, we got this Naomi Osaka thing has taken a turn.
Has it?
Yeah, it really has.
It still keeps going in the same direction.
No. Watch. There's something that's come out that really is. It's like really. So we'll
something that was unexpected.
Yeah, it was a little unexpected, and maybe we'll turn the tide a little bit. We'll see. But right now, it's Chastain Ford, and Chastain Ford has turned the tide of Ford dealerships in the city of Houston, the number one commercial Ford dealership in the city of Houston. What does that say to you? That business that always just worries about the bottom line. That's what business does. Worries about the bottom line. They want to get the best vehicle they can at the best price because that's just an expense for them. So they want to spend as little as possible. They want to have the best vehicle that they can possibly get for what they need. They're going to know it's going to be customized to exactly what they need. That tells you that they trust Chastain Ford. That business trusts Chastain Ford. And you know what? You should too. Chastain Ford is going to do the most they possibly can. I'm telling you, these people, the first thing that Patrick said to me was that we don't do add-ons, okay? We're not going to do that to you. If we agree on a price, this is the price that you're going to pay. I don't believe in that. And yet, that's what every other dealership does. They always, always, always add on for you at the end because you can't buy online from the other dealerships because they got to get you in there so they can upsell you. And it's just not happening at Chastain Ford. You can trust them. You will love them. The service is second to none. You will love everything about Chastain Ford. You're looking for that Ford car or truck right now. Get to Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can shop everything online at ChastainFord.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The four tournaments, the four majors, came out and told Naomi Osaka last week. They told Naomi Osaka if she doesn't do her media responsibilities, then she is going to risk being disqualified from the tournaments. That changed drastically when Naomi Osaka brought up mental health issues, and she actually retired from the French Open and walked away from it. So they scrambled. Oh my God, we're going to get canceled. We're going to get canceled. So they put out a statement that's, we really, really, really care about the players. No, you really don't. No, you really don't. But, yeah. but
this was predictable, right?
Yeah, it's predictable. For fear of being canceled,
yeah,
they all responded with, it's of the utmost importance. That's all we care about. We don't care about it, money or anything else.
Please
in our
just
sport.
Get better.
Just
please.
We just want everybody
it.
To have be mentally
we
healthy.
We didn't mean anything by this. And
mm-hmm.
They don't. Yeah. But it's pretty predictable. They would
no,
come
yeah,
out and do that.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to get canceled. By Twitter.
I do. I no, you don't.
But
I do think that there is, like, you cannot give up on this. Is a thing. I saw some media members talking about this. Like, it's crazy to see how many. Like Joel Anderson said this, Joel's like, you know, it's kind of crazy to see how many media members are advocating for less access than we already get. We don't get a whole lot anyway. And then there was a discussion about, you know, there's a discussion about, so I think younger people don't really read long form stuff anyway, or really articles that bring a narrative together and quotes from multiple people. Not even younger people. Lamont was like, what are y'all talking about conduit, that the media is a conduit? We'll just read social media for the player's
true,
social
though.
Media
it's
account.
Totally
but,
not true.
But the social media, they don't give you anything.
It's, it, no, it's they don't, totally, they don't that's totally
quotes,
not true.
They don't talk about the game. And so there
you
is,
know that Kwame Brown is saying stuff because it's being reported and everybody's making a big deal out of it. That's why. That's how you know about
and he
what's
doesn't
happening
play
with,
anymore.
That's how you know what's happening with Ben Roethlisberger.
What
no.
Is, well, I mean, what does Kevin Durant tell you about the games? What insight is he giving you about
none.
The games on his
and
Twitter account?
And you got to follow him and listen to everything that he says. It's
which
just
is
not
what
true.
He, which is what
you're
they
still
want.
Finding out a bunch of stuff from the media. If the media is still pushing major stories
well,
forward.
Well, the Deshaun Watson thing is a great example of we have learned stuff through media engagements, and the Texans try to shut it down.
And that's not a pat on the back. It's you know, look
no,
at
it's,
us. And
it's their
it's
job.
Actually, I can't stand the media because of how stupid and the way that they go about it, and how backstabbing
yeah,
and all of
it,
that stuff.
But you're using it in a general, and
in
that's
a general
the problem
sense
we have.
What the media is.
But that's the problem we have. Everyone just says stupid media. There's a lot of media. The guys who are writing articles about stuff, and they're still out there. Just because you don't read them doesn't mean that other people don't. And it doesn't mean there's not value no. in finding out what Osaka has to say about a tournament. If you're a tennis fan, you may not care. I may not care necessarily if we don't follow women's tennis, but people who follow the sport, they want to know.
Well, the only reason I knew about it is because on ESPN and across my timeline, ESPN is talking about Osaka being withdrawing from the French Open. Otherwise, I don't have any idea what's going on. I'm not following Naomi Osaka or care. There's no care, but it becomes a story. But now, I don't know if you saw this, her sister, and it has been substantiated that this is her sister. Her older sister wrote this. It was posted, I believe, on her Instagram or
and
whatever.
This isn't Carlos Beltran's niece?
This is not Carlos Beltran's okay. niece. Osaka's team has, it's a Reddit post, and it's been confirmed that Naomi Osaka's older sister, Mari, has a unique perspective. And here's what she says. She says, well, first she says she sucks at explaining her actions most of the time, and she's playing a grand slam, so there's even less chance that she will take her time to dwell and explain something that she doesn't even want to talk about. Here's what Marty says. She says, Naomi mentioned to me before the tournament that a family member had come up to her and remarked that she's bad at clay. At every press conference, she's told she has a bad record on clay. When she lost in Rome, she was not okay mentally. Her confidence was completely shattered, and I think that everyone's remarks and opinions have gotten to her head, and she herself believed that she was bad on clay. This isn't true, and she knows that in order to do well and have a shot at winning Roland Garros, she will have to believe that she can. That's the first step any athlete needs to, believe in themselves. So wait a minute. Her mental health is that she doesn't like people saying she's bad on clay? This is her mental health problem?
That a family member told her.
That a family? You hurt my feelings. This is why she's not playing in the French Open? This is the mental health problem? Not some bipolar thing, or that somebody in her family hurt her feelings?
Well, you thought it was a pill popping thing she needed to get over.
What did you think? She got to see Fromber's doctor.
Well, if maybe she does, because if a family member can throw her off her game like that, maybe she does.
Well,
need
then
to see
maybe
Fromber's doctor.
That's a little soft. That's not mental health. That's you hurt my feelings, so now I can't play in a major.
I don't know how long that Reddit post was, and I'm sure Naomi would be like, it's probably a little bit more detailed than you just. I don't know.
No, she goes on. So her solution was to block everything out. No talking to people who are going to put doubt in her mind. She's protecting her mind, hence why it's called mental health.
Didn't we do the same thing with Paul George? Paul George didn't
like
the
criticism. And guess what we did to Paul George?
Yeah, and some people said, yeah, we
you
criticized
soft.
Him. Some people called him soft. Others like, well, congrats. We saw the same thing, maybe to a lesser extent. Well, that's really brave of Paul George to talk about
how
the bubble affected him.
But you know, I don't
doubt
that.
Is that mental health?
I guess.
Well, no, that is if you are having trouble. If you're having trouble inside an isolation, you are literally isolated. That seems different than this, but you know, this is classic where you run the risk of looking insensitive, which is why you have to be careful when talking about this stuff because it can easily blow up in your face. You're fearless. You don't care. You have nothing to lose. You can speak on this. I just want to say I am with you, Naomi.
But I'm not going to poo-poo Naomi's.
I am with your problem.
Wait a minute. You hurt my feelings, so now
no,
I'm not playing
I
anymore?
Think there's a very, this is my problem. There is a very different... mental health is a very real and serious issue for a lot of people listening to the show, a lot of people in general. Athletes, to me, this isn't mental health. That's what I was going to say. That there's a difference. Well, other people would say, no, how she feels. We have gotten into a generational divide now about things that are difficult that you have to overcome, that can be tough on you, that can be difficult from a standpoint of adversity. Overcoming adversity or facing adversity causes stress, but it doesn't necessarily lead to mental health issues. That is called overcoming adversity. And what you are describing, John, is that's like when baseball players, basketball, that's what Chris Paul has to face right now. That's what James Harden has to face, frankly, based on their histories. Bagwell Biggio, every year they squeeze the bat even tighter in the postseason.
That's what
Phil Mickelson at one point had to deal with when he was the best player and never won a major, or Greg Norman when he was a big choker in the Masters. That's adversity and stress, and a lot of that is self-created. It's all self-created.
It's self-created. Yes, yes.
But mental health, where you have a fog that sets over you, that you can't get right, that you are depressed, that you face anxiety, severe anxiety issues about triggers. That I get that sports is tough and all that, but I'm kind of with you on this one. If that's truly what it is,
well,
that she didn't like playing in Roland Garros, which you're saying now, how do you know this is a real person?
No. It was confirmed by Naomi's team. Confirmed with Naomi's Ben Rothenberg confirmed with Naomi Osaka's team that this Reddit post is indeed her older sister.
Okay, so why her sister's going to Reddit is a curious move to me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go on Reddit to throw
stuff
in there.
So listen to what else she says here.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know what she's going to do in the future when the tournament pushes back and threatens to default her, but I fully support my sister's actions because she's just trying to do what's best for her. Tennis players don't get paid to do press conferences. They only get paid when they win matches. That is totally false. If you want to get paid, you want to be paid at the highest level, you want to be perform at the highest level, you have to promote your sport. And that's what the press, and you have to, like it or not, it is absolutely part of the job. It is part of the job in every sport because you have to be available. Otherwise, tennis, no one will be talking about tennis unless you can get the stories out there. And unless you can talk to the people that are actually performing, then you can't. There's no story. The people are the story.
This is a relatively new phenomenon. I mean, it's been around. Steve Carlton didn't want to talk to the media because he thought they were unfair to him or whatever.
Yes.
We know Arian Foster had his issues.
Oh, there's plenty of guys. Russell Westbrook, Marshawn Lynch.
When they're angry, it's not brand new, but this is kind of brand new for entire groups, giant clumps of fan bases to what happens if this leaks into your politics where politicians don't have to, they're just not going to take questions anymore. They're not accountable to you. They're not accountable for anything. Like, it's now granted, one is a sport and you're just trying to get access. It's not the same as politics. I get that. But the idea that you don't have to be accountable because it hurts your feelings or because you just don't like it, with Kyrie Irving, that's the most self-important thing I've ever heard, is that he's somehow, it shows a lack of appreciation for what has been built for you. I'll give you an example. Like, tennis has already been built. Right. But tennis is not as strong as it once was, or it needs to be stronger, obviously. And she's the best player. Like, she's the most visible young superstar in the whole world in tennis. That's why people want to hear from her in that. It wouldn't kill any of us if we didn't hear from Naomi Osaka again. Mm-hmm. But it does bring up problems if it leads to other sports. Like, I'm more concerned about Kyrie Irving. You know, I was more concerned about Marshawn, even though you can certainly work around it by doing the interview and not answering questions. But I think that the problem is, when I remember when the UFC, so I was a big fan at the very beginning. UFC 2 was the first one I saw. My buddy Harold Keanu had a copy of it on tape, and we watched it. And I used to follow all of it from Hoyce Gracie to Dan Severn and all that stuff. I've been watching it forever. And I remember when I had a chance to get Dana White on. And we got him on in 2001 on our show on The Bench. There used to be a show. Or at that time, it was not The Bench, though, John. At that time, it was the John and Lance Sports Radio Show.
Right.
Brought to you by Bill Van Rysdam.
He was a sponsor?
It kind of, in a way. It was powered by.
Huh.
And so, but I was like, oh, my gosh, Dana White's going to – I got a chance to get Dana White. Now, he wasn't a big name nationally. He wasn't a big name at all. But Dana did every radio show and TV show he could. All of his fighters, they had them all on. We had Chuck Liddell on. Here's who we had on. Early in the morning, we had Chuck Liddell on. We had Tito Ortiz. We had every fighter. We had Mark Kerr in studio. We had all the Rico Rodriguez, because they understood we're trying to grow our sport, and we need to make it available. And the UFC and Dana White, he's understood that.
He's
harder to get a hold of for a show
like
ours, but he does AJ's, which is a local show. And so Dana understands that. And he always has, that growing your sport. And look how big that sport is. That sport's past boxing.
Yeah.
It's way past women's tennis. They understood how to grow their sport and how to make people available. And that's what they have done. Be accessible. Yeah. This idea that you're going to not be accessible. I get it, basketball. You don't have to be – not basketball. I shouldn't say that. Kyrie, you don't have to be accessible right now. You can act like you're bigger than the sport. But at some point, if your sport starts to take a downward turn like baseball has, and some people say basketball has, but I don't, you know, based on TV ratings, but I don't really judge it. Right. We're in such a weird place. I don't judge it by metered ratings necessarily. You know, you're going to want people to come back.
Listen, like baseball, It's part of the job.
How does baseball market?
And if you don't like it, tough. Now, H-Techs have 23. Mental health is not a joke, bro. All mental health is serious. Maybe you should do research and don't be single-minded. I don't watch tennis, just saying. Dude, I am not making fun of mental health. This is not mental health. This is hiding behind mental health. This is someone who doesn't want to hear something negative and can't respond, as opposed to going out there and proving people wrong. She's just going to hide, and she doesn't want to hear it. Well, guess what? It's a big, hard world out there, especially at the highest level of any sport or any activity.
I don't know that it's hiding. Well, that's her sister, whatever. She said something, but I don't know if it's hiding. If she's truly documented had depression in 2018, if that's real, that's real. I mean, and the reason I'm not going all in on she's hiding, because athletes from every generation have been like, yeah,
That's real. Like Bubba Watson at 42 years old is saying, hey, I deal with anxiety too, and it's tough, and I'm happy that she's prioritizing mental health.
Well, this is totally different than what Naomi Osaka said,
though. Well, that is what her sister said. Yes. Who do I take at face value? Naomi's thoughts on it when she said she's suffering from anxiety and depression, or her sister in a blurb on Reddit?
She didn't mention depression. She mentioned
anxiety. She said she's been depressed since 2018.
But they can be both. Oh, she's been, yes, right. Well, No. She said, I've been depressed because people booed me when I won the U.S. Open. Okay. Listen. I'm not taking it seriously. But this is totally different. This changes it. If she just can't respond because someone in her family said she's not good on clay, then that is baloney.
Or she has anxiety about playing on clay. Or what you're talking about, Dell, I mean, I get it. There have been athletes who... I get having anxiety about a sporting... But answering questions before a tournament is just part of, like, what you're telling me, and depression is way... I've dealt with depression stuff in the past. You know, I deal with it on a different times in my life to this day. But it's different than anxiety. It's different than the social anxiety that a guy like... Ricky Williams went through, and I don't know if she deals with this or not, but Zach Greinke, like, man, it is difficult to watch Zach Greinke answer any questions because he's got a real social anxiety issue. He's probably the most extreme I've ever seen. We know Ricky did put a helmet on to do interviews. I do think there is a difference, and it needs to be stated, about social anxiety and difficulty being around people and then dealing with depression. Now, if you're really dealing with depression, you wouldn't even be able... It'd be hard to play in a major. Like, it'd be really hard to play in a major. If you're in one of your phases, it'd be really, really difficult for her. And if that's what she was going through, okay, I mean, I get it. That would be where you don't want to see anyone. But it's so debilitating that I don't even know how you could even... I would just expected her to completely withdraw. I guess she kind of did withdraw, really.
Yeah, she's done. I think it's just multiple pieces to a puzzle. Yeah. This is one part of it, the Reddit thing, and then there's probably a lot of other things going on, too.
All right, we can continue that on the other side. We also got big, big Texans news coming your way.
Uh-oh.
Yep, big Texans news.
Is Deshaun back?
This is a tease, okay?
Okay,
it could
don't
be
tell
Deshaun
me.
Back.
Don't tell me.
Or it could be a little white running back sign. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about Doc Linville and the greatness that is my hair. You see me flipping it right here on Twitch? See, you can see my hair on Twitch. You can see the greatness that is Doc Linville. And I say it's all Doc Linville because, well, frankly, it's all Doc Linville. It's neo-grafting. It's wonderfulness. It is unbelievable what the Doc does. Listen, I tried the other one where they cut and pain and blood all over, and it's just awful. This was such an easy, so much easier process. I was in the chair for about 4 hours, and 6, 7, 8 months later, you're like, wow, it is amazing, amazing the difference in your hair. So if you're somebody that you just can't take it, you hate it, you hate not having hair, well, Doc Linville is the guy for you. He's the best. I love him. Love what he did for me. You're going to love him too. You're going to love the process. You're going to love the people. You're going to love everything about it. You are going to love when you've got hair again. So if you're somebody that's follically challenged, hey, get this for Father's Day. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.